Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our text is the second reading from 1 John chapter 5. I'll reread the first two verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. This is our text. Today we are celebrating the sixth Sunday of Easter. We only have one more week of Easter left to go. It's interesting because in the wider Christian church, Easter doesn't always fall on the same date. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Orthodox, the Eastern churches are just beginning to celebrate Easter today. In our readings from 1 John and the Gospel of John, there were a number of themes that were repeated over and over again. Themes of love, faith, and obedience to God's commandments. Love, faith, and obedience to God's commandments. These words may seem like abstract ideas, sort of ideas that float up here, until we remember that Jesus is a real person. Jesus is not abstract. He is flesh and blood. And when we talk about love, we cannot speak about love without speaking of him and his flesh and blood. And we cannot speak of faith without looking to him. And we cannot consider obedience to Christ's commands without his love being at work in and through us. And so even these things, faith, love, faith, and obedience, are based on the central fact of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It is because he is risen that we can talk about these things, learn of these things, live out these things. Love, faith, and obedience, they come together in and through Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, when did his resurrection first touch your life, first make an impact on you? Perhaps not for everyone, but in the normal order of things, like for Oliver James today, the resurrection of Christ becomes ours in holy baptism. St. Paul speaks of baptism as a gift by which we are put to death with Christ and we are raised to newness of life in Christ. You have been raised to a new life, first for your soul and still ahead for your body. Your body is not yet living in the resurrection, but you have been made a new creation in Christ. And so was Oliver James today, born anew by the love of God and born to love as Christ has loved him. So we come to the first theme and the one we'll explore the most today, which is the theme of love. What do we mean by love? In English, we really have just the one word, love. We don't distinguish it. We even say, or we hear people say, love is love, right? Well, if you read your Bible in the Greek, you'll find out that's actually wrong. There are four different kinds of love. If you want to know more about them, you can read what C.S. Lewis wrote, his book called Four Loves. The Greek has four different words. In English, they're just translated with our one word love, but they have different meanings and nuances. And I want to name three of them and then focus on the fourth most of all. One love is what's called storge love. This is family love. This is the love of a mother for her child. The love of Shayla for little Oliver. A love of care, a love that is filled with need and then fulfilled. The second kind of love is eros. You probably hear there the word erotic. That is the sexual romantic love, husband and wife within marriage. There's philos, like Philadelphia, the love of friends. In the Bible, we think of Jonathan and David and the friendship that they had. The fourth love is the highest and greatest love of all. In Greek, it is the word agape. Perhaps you've heard it before. Agape is the unique kind of love that belongs to God and begins with God alone. And this is the word that actually John is using both in 1 John 15 and in John 5. When he talks about love, he's not talking just about storge, the family love, or about eros, erotic love, or about philos, the love of friends. He is speaking of this agape, divine love. I want to reread from 1 John 5 and John 15. 1 John 5, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then Jesus in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. We can see here some of the characteristics of this kind of divine love, this agape love. It is sacrificial love. Do you hear what Jesus said? Laying down one's life for another, because of another. It is unconditional love. Jesus said these things to the disciples, to the apostles, on the night when he was betrayed. And you know what they were going to do. They weren't going to stick close to him like friends should. They weren't going to defend him or speak up for him. They ran away. But knowing that, Jesus said, I have laid down my life for you in love. It is unconditional. Love to the loveless shown. When it comes to God, and we say God is love, God is not just family love or erotic love or friendship love. God is agape love, sacrificial, unconditional love to the loveless. But where does love come from? Those first three loves, those are natural loves. They're part of the way that God created this world, and they're part of the way this world works even after the fall. You don't have to be a Christian to love a family member. You don't have to be a Christian to have romantic, erotic love. You don't have to be a Christian to have friendship love. These are all natural to us. We are born with them, desiring them and needing them. But that agape love, the laying down one's life for a friend love, that isn't natural to us. Not anymore. Not since that moment when Eve took the fruit and Adam stood by watching. Instead of laying down his life, he was willing to let her life be sacrificed for him. We're not born with this agape love, this sacrificial, unconditional love. It isn't normal to us, and it isn't natural to us. And our regular bent as human beings is away from this kind of love. So where does it come from? It is supernatural. It is created, given, bestowed by God. It is purely a gift. The kind of love that is begotten of grace. It's the same love that St. Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 13. You may know these words, sometimes read at weddings. Agape love is patient and kind. Agape love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Agape love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And God said, agape, love one another. You might have a little hesitation about that. You might have that immediate gut reaction objection that says, but I can't love that way. That love is too great, too much, demands too much of me. And it's true. You can't love that way. Not by yourself, on your own. All you have to do is look back at the last week of your life. You can ask these questions of yourself. Whom did you find it hard to love this week? With whom were you impatient or unkind? Whom did you envy, or over whom did you boast? With whom were you arrogant or rude, insisting on your own way? Irritable, resentful? Was it a family member, husband or wife, parent or child? Maybe a friend? Maybe a coworker or a neighbor of yours? Or maybe you've made a little bubble in your life where no one gets even close enough to be engaged with you through love. Who can love like this? There's only one who has loved in this way, loved perfectly, loved sacrificially to the end, loved unconditionally with his whole life from first breath to last, and it is Jesus. He loves in this manner, and he loves you in this manner, and Jesus, his love never fails. Yes, when we come face to face with this kind of love, agape love, it does condemn us. It does convict us. We do see our own failings and the way that even our love is often turned on ourselves. But in Christ, we also see that love fulfilled on our behalf. That love carried out to the end and given. That is the love that he put into the water of holy baptism. Put into the water of your baptism, no matter how many years ago that was. And his love never fails. When Jesus says, abide in my love, he isn't first talking about how you need to abide in loving like him. He is talking about remaining in and resting in his love. Being on the receiving of end of his love. We don't focus first on ourselves and our love. That would be to make an idol of our love. Our love can never be God. Our love will never be good enough. We don't fool anyone, not even him. But the greatest love is the love that Christ has shown for us, that a man lay down his life for his friends, which is exactly what Jesus did. As I said already, his friends who scattered and ran away, his friends who were not all that lovable, he laid down his life for sinners. And in doing so, named them his friends, his dearly beloved. The vine dies to give life to the branches. A man lays down his life, not just for his friends here, but even for his enemies, to make them friends. The unlovable become lovable by the cross. This is the love that we need. This is the love that we cannot find anywhere else. It is the love that Christ provides. And you are here today, whether you knew it or not, because this is the love that you need. This is the love you need to receive, and this is the love you need flowing through you as a channel of God's grace. And so it is here that his love becomes yours. And when his love becomes yours, all the rest is thrown in as well. The whole resurrection life becomes yours, which is a life of love in Christ. This morning I was meeting with the elders and we were looking at 1 Corinthians 13, which ends with talking about faith, hope, and love. But it says that love is the greatest because it is the one that abides. When we look ahead to the life of the world to come, we will see God face to face. We will not live by faith because we will be in his presence. We will not live by hope because our hope will be fulfilled. But we will live by love because love never ends. That is the content and life of the world to come. So how do we know that he loves us? Here we think of faith. We know that he loves us. We believe it because he tells us and he gives us his love by the acts that he does for us. In other words, there is a location for his love. I don't need to wander around wondering, does God love me? Did Christ die for me? I don't need to grasp at it by how I'm feeling or by what I do or don't do. We know his love because he puts it in particular places. In the font, where love washed away your sin and your guilt, and he gave you his resurrection life. And you grabbed hold of that again today. You said, I am baptized, which is to say, I am loved by Christ. At the altar, the chalice, love's blood given and shed for you again, for the forgiveness of sins, poured into your mouth. How do I know Christ loves me? Because he gives himself to me. He makes a promise to me. And by his word, not just an idea or a reality, but it is through the service and through the scriptures and the preaching that Christ says to you and says it again today, I love you. You are my beloved. And this is the love we are to abide in. How? He says by keeping his commandments, but I don't think he just means the Ten Commandments. What has Christ commanded? He has commanded to go and baptize. He has commanded, do this, the Holy Communion. He has commanded that sins be forgiven in his name. So when he says, you abide in my love by keeping my commandments, he means that we abide in his love by keeping and clinging to, holding fast to, and treasuring his teachings and his word, including our baptism and the Holy Communion and the forgiveness he gives in his church. We may wonder at times if we do not feel the love of God or we are not abiding in his love, is it because we've wandered away? Is it because we've struggled to love on our own, thinking that it's what we have to do? Are we hungering and thirsting for the love that he has for us? This is why St. John says that his commandments are not burdensome, because all he is commanding you to do is to come to receive the love that he has for you. St. John said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, because of who it's in, Jesus Christ. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is that embodiment and incarnation and resurrection of the agape love. Obey my commandments, which means receive my love. He doesn't say obey my commandments because we earn his love by obeying. I mean, imagine if a parent said to the child, you can have my love if you earn it. I'm going to give you a command and you do it and I'll love you. What a terrible perversion of family love that would be. No, parents give rules and commands to their children so that their children can abide in the love and remain in safety and security and in peace, and so that they can know how to love one another. As I have loved you, Jesus said. It all begins and ends there. As I have loved you, you are chosen in love. And you are chosen by Christ for love. He calls you his friends because he wants his love to be at work in and through you. And we abide in Jesus' love, and his love abides in us. And it abides in us for the neighbor. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this fruit is born as his resurrection and his love and the Holy Spirit are at work in us through our baptisms and through his holy and precious gifts. John says that there are three witnesses: the water, Jesus' baptism, the blood, his death, and the Spirit, who joins us to these gifts. These three agree. Blood and water and Spirit present when he died on the cross, and blood and water and Spirit present in his church for you, so that you might abide in his love and bear good fruit in his name. And this is what he does in your life by your vocations. He gives fruit that will last and it will not rot. In your life, through you, he works good fruit in your household, in your congregation, in the places where you work, in your lives as citizens. And the fruit that you bear has no expiration date. It is the good that he does in you and through you. It is the love that he pours into your life and flows from you for others. It is agape. But in this world, it often looks ordinary, not that exciting. And yet it is his love for you, given to you again this day, that you, as you have been loved by Christ, may love one another. May his love abide in you, and may his love be at work through you. In Jesus' name.